السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, we now move on to the fourth ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the middle ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And there are many issues to discuss with this ayah, and we will deal with this ayah today and inshallah ta'ala tomorrow. The first issue, if you notice very interestingly, and subhanAllah, many of us don't even notice this, even though we have recited this surah by now probably a million times. There is a change in tense in this verse. There is a change in tense in this verse. From the third person to the second person. I repeat, there is a change in tense. What is the first three verses? All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. The merciful, the one who shows mercy. The master of the day of judgment. We speak of Allah Azza wa Jal in what we call in English the third person. And then when we get to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, all of a sudden we change to the second person. You alone. The first three verses we're speaking in what is called the neutral tense, is the third tense. Allah is this, Allah is that. There's no direct contact, there's no communication, we're simply praising Allah. Then when we get to the fourth verse, automatically the tense changes. We are having now a dialogue, a conversation. And this change in tense in Arabic is called iltifat. In Arabic it is called iltifat. You change from the third to the second to the first. We have this change in English. Now, in the English language, if you study literature, if you study grammar, you are taught in the English language that once you begin your essay, your book in one tense, you stick with that tense. This is what we are taught in English. However, in Arabic, and Arabic is a Semitic language and English is a Romance, a Latin-based language, in Arabic, it is a part of eloquence to change your tense. Iltifat is a common phenomenon of Arabic poetry, of pre-Islamic poetry, and especially of the Quran. And if you read the Quran, hardly a page goes by except that you find this change of tense. Sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla speaking in the third person, then all of a sudden He changes to the direct. And one of the most dramatic examples of this, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my servants ask you about me. So the Prophet is being told to speak on the behalf of Allah. When my servants ask you, Ya Rasulullah, about me, then all of a sudden Allah directly answers. He doesn't say to the Prophet, you go tell them. He answers and he says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close to them. And this is a simple example that we all understand. By changing the tense, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is emphasizing the closeness that He has. So this is one example. In Fatiha, in Surah Al-Fatiha, this change of tense, what is the purpose of this? And I reiterate here that when you study English, you are taught this is not good grammar. Therefore, when people from an English background, from a Western background, read Quranic translations, one of the most common problems is they don't understand the tenses keep on changing. And this has allowed some non-Muslims, when they read translations, to say the Quran is not eloquent. How is this eloquence? But subhanAllah, it is so shallow to judge the grammar of another language through the grammar of English. It is so intellectually shallow to judge eloquence based upon your own rules of grammar. The problem is these people are judging translations and they think they understand eloquence. Whereas the Arabic eloquence and the styles of what is called balagha, eloquence, are very different. So here we have an example of what is called iltifat, from the third person to the second person. What is the purpose of this iltifat? Why is it here? Az-Zamakhshari, the famous mufassir, in his tafsir, he mentions that of the wisdoms of iltifat right now is that after praising Allah in such a beautiful manner, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, you have described who is Allah, but there's no action being done. It's simply a description. So by changing the tense and by speaking directly, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we are translating ilm into amal. We are translating knowledge into action. What do we do after we've praised Allah? So what if Allah is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? What does that do? What should we do based upon that? What do we do? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. We worship you, O Allah, because you are Rabbil Alameen. Because you are Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because you are Maliki Yawm al-Din. So we affirm Allah's Tawheed, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We affirm the Risala. We affirm the Akhirah. Then we worship Allah based upon that. Also, we affirm love and fear and hope. We talked about this a few days ago. We affirm that Allah is worthy to to be loved. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We affirm that Allah is worthy to put your hope in. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We affirm that Allah is worthy to be feared. Maliki Yawmiddin. What do we do with love and hope and fear? We then worship Allah based upon the three pillars of love and fear and hope. Also of the wisdoms of changing the tense is that the attention of the listener is jolted. If you fall asleep, if you're not paying attention, when the tense changes, then all of a sudden you start thinking. And that's one of the wisdoms of Arabic, changing the tense in the Quran and also in Arabic poetry. Also of the wisdoms of changing the tense is that the rest of the surah is now a dialogue between the servant and Allah. So the first part of the surah was the praise, and the last part of the surah is a dialogue. So the fourth verse changes the praise and begins the dialogue. So after the praise, after the introduction, now the direct dialogue begins. It is as if we are having a direct conversation with Allah. Iyyaka na'bud. You alone do we worship, and you alone are the one whose help that we seek. The second point, this was the first point. The second point here is that we notice, for those of you who are studying Arabic, this is not the most common way to phrase, we worship you. If I were to ask an Arabic student or studying Arabic language, translate, we worship you, he would say, na'buduka. This is the natural way to say it. The most common way. Na'buduka. We worship you. But that's not how Allah says it. That's not the Quran. The Quran, it actually does something that is not that common. And that is Iyaka na'bud. It takes the pronoun, and that is ka, the kaf is the pronoun, and it separates it from the verb. Now I'm going a little bit advanced here, but in Arabic generally, the pronoun, the verb and the pronoun, the verb and the pronoun are linked together, right? So if you hit somebody, you say, darabtuka, I hit you, right? So the daraba and then tuka, you're joining it together. This is the common way of doing it. But to separate the pronoun from the verb, it's not that common. And there's always a reason why it is done. And especially now to take the pronoun and put it before the verb, which is what the Quran does. Iyaka na'bud. There's a wisdom here. What is that wisdom? Two wisdoms here. The first wisdom, the emphasis is not on our worship, it is on Allah. So we put Allah and the pronoun referencing Allah at the beginning. You, O Allah. We want to emphasize Allah, not ourselves. You, O Allah. Iyaka. So this is the first. And so we're emphasizing, we're getting the blessings of mentioning Allah before we mention us. So Iyaka, you, O Allah, is the one that we worship. And then the second wisdom, or the second reason why the pronoun has been put before the verb, deals with a linguistic issue of the Arabic language, which is, it's called hasr or exclusivity, which basically means, very simple, when we say na'buduka, we worship you, in Arabic, it could mean you worship Allah today and you worship somebody else tomorrow. So today we're worshiping you, another time we worship somebody else. But when you put the pronoun before the verb, then the emphasis is that you alone do we worship. Exclusivity. Hasr in Arabic. So when you say, Iyaka na'bud, what you are actually saying, we do not worship anybody other than you. And this is done, now this is a rule of Arabic, you can just learn it, that when the damir, when the pronoun is basically placed before the verb, so then there's a matter of exclusivity, right? So the translation of Iyaka na'bud does not, and many translations say we worship you. This is a wrong translation. This is a grammatically incorrect translation. Iyaka na'bud translates as you alone do we worship. And that is one of the wisdoms of placing the pronoun or the damir before the verb. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. And the third point that we'll say, and maybe we might have to spend 3 days on this verse, but Ramadan is coming to an end, and you will say, I didn't finish Fatiha, so we need to hurry up a little bit. But the third wisdom here is that, or the third point of the ayah, is that amazingly, it's in the plural. Even though the one who recites the Fatiha is always a person. Iyaka na'bud, the noon is plural. We worship you. Even though when you recite Fatiha, how many are you? The reciter is always going to be one. The reciter is single. So why the plurality? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again is demonstrating, the ones who worship me are millions and billions. I am one. All of the creation is worshiping Allah. But I alone am unique. That's one wisdom. Another wisdom, the Muslim is always reminded that he is not a selfish individual being. Rather, he or she is connected to a global ummah. We are one ummah. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. This is your ummah, one ummah, and I alone am your Lord, so worship me. So when we say it in the plural, we remind ourselves over and over again of our connection with the ummah. We cannot be selfish when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. We always have the ummah in mind. We think of Gaza as we recite Fatiha because they cannot worship Allah the way that we're worshiping right now. We think of Myanmar, we think of Burma, we think of Kashmir, we think of every situation and scenario because we are a part of a collected body. Iyyaka na'bud. All of us, O Allah, we are worshiping. We collectively are worshiping you alone. So that is of the wisdom of placing the pronoun before the verb and of the wisdoms of putting it in the plural. And inshallah ta'ala, my time is up for today. Tomorrow we will continue talking about some of the wisdoms of this verse. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.